finish up the Rashi and Tosos?
On the Koso?
Yeah, I think we quickly finished it.
We quickly finished it. Did you understand it? Did you finish it?
I don't understand the.
So how did it go out? So knows that according to the Riva?
Yeah, the last opinion.
The Riva, yeah, it's difficult. It's a difficult opinion. You mean that the Karka? That's gonna have a tier for the Karka? It's a good question. It's a difficult opinion. Where's Max?
He might be at Florida.
And Levy's coming? Okay. But the main machlokus is dalet al dalet, it would seem, right? According to Tosfos, it needs makom dalet al dalet to have a shame munach, right? That's the definition of munach. That is a tziruf to another object. When a thing is considered at rest, when it has another object as its place, it could be the ground, it could be a box. It could be the top of something, or it could be the side of something. But it has to be related. Munach means it's related to a place in a certain way. And there's a shear of the place. The place has to be dalet al. So even on the side of the wall would have to be dalet al dalet, according to Tosus. But according to Rashi, what do we say? That Rashi is mechalek between the side of the wall and the top of the wall, right? Rashi is mechalek between the side of the wall and the top of the wall. When something is stuck on the side of the wall, Rashi holds, that's considered that it's in the avir, correct? That's considered that it's in the avir. Only when it's on the top of the thing is it considered in another rishus, right? So why is that? So what does Rashi hold? And what about dalet al dalet when it's on the side of the wall? Right? So we said that Rashi holds that what? So what's Rashi's main point over here? Saying that when you say something is in another, when you say that something is munach somewhere, right? Where is it munach? It's munach in the place that is giving it it has to be munach in an area that has its own definition. In other words, the side of the wall, according to Rashi, the wall doesn't qualify the air around it. When something is on the wall, right, it's just a question of how high it is. Really, what's giving it its quality is how high it is. Is it within the reach of the Rabbim or not within the reach of the Rabbim? Correct? But the height of the wall doesn't change the quality at all. In other words, if you have a box, if you have a platform, then depending on the height of the platform, you have a brick, let's say, right? In the case of the brick. So the height of the brick is going to determine the utility of the surface. If the brick is very low, then the top of it will be part of the reach of the Rabbim. If the brick is very high, the top of it will be out of the reach of the Rabbim. But in that case, right, the height of the thing will change the type of surface it is. Right? So then you can say that what? That the height of the object will change it into another rishus, right? Because the height is really giving it a new quality, right?
Yeah.
But so that's Rashi says you only care about the height.
What about the side?
When it's a davar mesuyim, right? Because now you want to say the tashmish on this, the tashmish on the top of this object is going to be different because of the height of the object itself. Right? Mm-hmm. So that's why on top of the brick is going to be, the top of the brick will be changed, will be a different reshus depending on its height. Right? But Rash saying when the thing is on the side of the wall, right? When the thing is on the side of the wall, what's giving the side of the wall is what? What's Rashi saying?
Not its own makom.
It's not its own makom.
Right. It's just a vehicle for the object to be in the avir.
It's not its own makom. It's not its own makom. Correct. It's just. He says the pneha. What does he say? The pneha kosel is really considered like the avir. Why?
Where's the object? It's just the thing that's giving the top surface a new quality. Itself is just facilitating the height, you know, the new quality emerges on account of that.
The new quality emerges, what, on the side of the wall you mean? Or on the
right,
top?
Right, that side is just, that's just the vehicle through which the top of the wall is getting a new quality. It's just like...
Right, what about the side of the wall?
I'm saying the side of the wall.
That's only a facilitator.
Right. One second, one second. Yeah, what does Rashi say? He says, ba'avir, ki hai dinid b'kor b'kosel. Right? He says also before, he says, oval avir, ki gom p'nei ha-kosel, dover ha-nid b'kro. That's the case of avir. And that's what means the case of avir. The side of a kosel where something is stuck onto it. Then you can talk about avir. Lo avir reshusei l'nafshei. That avir is not its own reshus. Right? You don't say the surface of the wall has its own reshus. You don't say the surface of the wall has its own reshus. What is the surface of a wall? It's
avir
just... It's what?
Just like the avir reshus rabim.
It's just like the avir reshus rabim.
No new quality emerges until you get to the top because of all the height, but within it, it's just no new quality.
Right. In other words, you can't call the object on... You don't call the object on the wall. Why? Because it's not the wall that's giving it its quality, right? It's really just a question of how high it is off the ground. If it's within the reach of the rabbim, it's part of the reshus rabbim, and if it's out of the reach of the rabbim, it's not in reshus rabbim, right? So the quality is not emerging from its position on the wall. That's just a case. That's just a case of making it accessible or inaccessible to the rabbim, right? But if the object is on top of something else, right? So then an elevated surface is its own reshus. Yeah.
It seems kind of artificial because in regards to this type of object, right? Then there'd be no difference between the top of the wall and the side of the wall, right? I mean, in terms of the...
Rashi's trying to say that height is only an issue when it's changing the quality of a surface. Right? Height is only an issue. Height is only going to create a new reshus when it's changing the quality of an area, right? So if I have a flat surface and I make it higher, right? So then that surface, then the height of that, then I can talk about the height of the surface, right? I can say a surface that is 10 tefachim high and dalet al dalet is considered its own reshus, considered reshus yachid. Right, but if the surface is the wall, right, so then the height is not affecting the surface. It's the same surface. The surface is not being elevated, Because the surface is one continuous object, from the bottom to the top. It's all the same thing. You can't say you're elevating the surface. You can say there's a higher part of the surface and a lower part. Right? But it's not that this, it's not that the side of the wall is going to be qualified by height. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it extends from the bottom to the top. It's not like if I have a flat thing, as I have a flat thing and I elevate it, so now I can say the quality of height is changing the whole surface. Now the whole surface is a certain amount of height. Now is this surface, does that quality of height make it different? Yes, now it's its own reshus away from the reshus rabbi. Right? But the side of the wall is not affecting the height is not qualifying the surface. You could say there's a high part and a low part, but you can't say that the Pnei HaKosel is elevated, right? So now height is not part. Now you can't now a reshus. Rashi is saying the definition of a reshus is not a high place or a low place. It's a place that has the quality of height. You understand? So I can be at the high place in the wall. It's true. The object is in a high place, right? But that's not a separate reshus. The height of the object is not what makes it a reshus. It's that the surface is elevated.
Okay,
yeah.
So it doesn't matter how high the kosel is, it could be 20 feet up on the side of it.
That's right. Doesn't matter how high the kosel is.
Why isn't that the quality of height if it's on the side of the wall?
The object is high. But the surface is not. The surface, because the surface is one continuous object.
So you can't draw a line on the
wall. You can't draw a line, right, that's what he's saying. He's saying you can't say the surface is qualified by height. You could say it's in this part of the, this part is higher than that part. That's obviously true. But you can't take the reshus is going to be the whole surface is going to have to be qualified as a reshus. You can't say height is the quality on this surface. So therefore, all you can say is that the object is high, right? But that's just the same thing as avir. That's what avir is. Avir is how high a thing is off the ground. Now, avir is a question of how high a thing is off the ground, an object. But to make a reshus, in order for the height to create a new reshus, it has to affect a whole the whole surface, right? So therefore, Rashi says that when the object is stuck on the side of the wall, that's not in its own reshus. That's just in the avir. And if it's in the avir reshus harabim, it's considered the reshus harabim. If it's not in the avir reshus harabim, it's makom petur, right? But Rashi disagrees with Tosfos on this one point. That he holds that the idea of dalet al dalet is not necessary for the object to be munach. Right? You don't need dalet al dalet for the object to be munach.
On the side.
Anywhere, really. You don't need dalet al dalet for the object to be munach anywhere. The only thing he says is that, right, on dalet we had, Rashi says, what do you need a makom dalet al dalet for? To make the, you need it to be choshev, for the akira and the hanocha to be considered an akira and the hanocha. Meaning to say what? It would seem, Rashi's holding like this, that in other words, what do I need a makom dalet al dalet for? That if I'm putting the object down, right, let's say I put it down and the makom is not dalet al dalet. Doesn't mean it's not at rest, it is at rest, correct? But if it's not on a mokom choshev, he's saying, it's not going to have a din of what? In order to be mitzdar, in order for to do a maisa of mitzdari, of being mitzdarifit to the reshus, you need a dalet al dalet. As Tosfos is saying, just in terms of being at rest, it needs to have a mokom dalet al dalet. So it's at rest on the wall, but what reshus is in? It's in the reshus rabbi. According to Rashi, it's a question of giving it the quality of the reshus that it's in. That unless you put it on a mokom choshev in the reshus harabim, or on a mokom choshev in the reshus yachid, it's not considered, it's not going to get the quality, it's not going to have a quality of your, that maisa is not going to have the quality of what?
Anocha and that reshus.
that you can't say that, yeah, in other words, you can't, it lacks in your creating a relation, in your qualifying the object as part of this rishus. In order to, what's an akira anacha? An akira anacha is the object was in this rishus, right? It was in this rishus, it was in the rishus rabbim, and now you have to break it from the rishus rabbim, or you have to place it in the rishus rabbim, right? But when you're placing it in the rishus rabbim or the rishus yachid, you're trying to give the object a quality of place. One of the qualities of an object is where it is. Right? Where is it? Now the malacha is to create that quality. So he's saying though there's a difference between putting it on an important part of the rishus or an unimportant part of the rishus. It has to do with the idea of its permanence. But he's saying if you put it on an inferior type of a place, that lacks in designating it as part of this rishus.
I mean, it will be part of the rishus. It's just you won't
be part of the rishus. Correct. It will be part of the rishus. Right. It is munach and it is here.
Right. But it's not. It wouldn't be without dalad al dalad. Then it wouldn't take on the quality of the rishus because it's
that's
not.
Right.
You didn't.
That's right.
Make it move
that's
on.
Right.
To
what's the difference between saying something is munach and saying it's tarek to rishus? What's the difference?
Okay, so here's the difference. When it's let's say it's on the wall, right? Let's say it's on the wall. So according to Tosfos, in order to be munach, it has to be related to an object that has a certain shear. That's the definition of munach. Munach means the object is in its place. To be in its place, the place has to have a certain minimal shear. You can't just arbitrarily say this is an object's place. The shear is dal. So it's munach, it's at rest, on the wall. That's what makes it at rest. Now, an object that's at rest can have a quality of a rishus. Okay, but the rishus is going to be the avir. So it's at rest on the wall, but what's the rishus? The rishus is the rishus rab, the avir. Right?
Yeah. It does seem a little funny that it needs to be mitzarf to a makom, right? It needs to be in its place, right? But when we look at the object and say what's the quality of place that it has, it goes by the rishus.
It's rishus. It's not the quality of. It's a different idea. It's to be in its makom. That's just to be at rest. If it's not at rest, it can't have a quality of rishus at all. Mm-hmm. Okay. But what rishus is it in? In other words, what area is it accessible to? What's its it could be at rest on the wall, but the wall is not a rishus. Mm-hmm. The wall is not a rishus at all. So it can't be. There's no quality of the wall. So it's at rest on the wall, but where is it? What type of a place is it in? What qualities is it surrounded by the public domain? And it's accessible to the public domain. So it is an object in the public domain. Okay? It's not an object in the wall. It's not in the wall. It's stuck on the wall. So it's not in transit. It's not rolling through. Right? But what type of an object, what's the nature of its place? You understand?
Yeah.
Its place is, according to Tosfos, It's surroundings. It's surroundings. It has to be on something, but that's not its surroundings, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry, these are a little bit vague ideas, but let's stick one inside that. Okay, right. So that's the way Tosh is looking. So you need two things. First of all, the object has to be considered at rest. How is it at rest? When is an object at rest? When it's in its residence, it has to have a certain place to be at rest. Can't just be rolling through. That's not at rest, right? And teetering on a little object is also not at rest. It doesn't relate to it as it's unstable. Whatever the idea, whatever causes you want to say, there's a minimal shear for an object to be considered at rest, related to another place in a certain way, related to another object in a certain way. So on the wall, it can be at rest. But what type of an object is it? What is its surroundings? It's surrounded by the Rishus HaRabim. So it's considered at rest in the Rishus HaRabim. It's not a contradiction. Mm-hmm. It's at rest. That it gets from being stuck to the wall. And where is it at rest? In the Rishus HaRabim. Because the wall is not a place for it to be in. It's on the wall. It's at rest on the wall. And it's in the Rishus HaRabim. Okay? So if you would take it off of the wall and put it inside the house, you would have taken it from the Rishus HaRabim, from its resting place in the Rishus HaRabim, and you would have put it in the Rishus HaYachid, B'chayev. Right? But according to Rashi, what is Rashi saying? Rashi's saying it's at rest where? Rashi's saying, where is it? It's munach in the avir, he says. That's what he says. Right? This object is considered in the avir. Right? It's considered in the avir. Why? And Rashi is on the next side. He says, in the avir, all you need is a hanocha, is mishanoch mashu avi hanocha. So what does Rashi hold? That's what we were saying. That's what we started saying on Friday. That according to Rashi, he doesn't hold that you can make this, you can split the thing up. You can say it's resting here, but it's qualified by the Rabbin. That the according to Rashi, the definition of its place is where it's being qualified by. Right? Mm-hmm. When you want to say where is the object? You can only talk about the area that's giving it its shame. So what area is giving it the shame? Only the avir is giving it its shame. So you have to say it's considered at rest, not on the wall, because the wall is not giving it any quality. Right? Yeah. It's at rest in the avir. So what about dalad al dalad? Right? So that's what we were saying before. That dalad al dalad is only necessary, is only a din when you can say on the ground, you can say there are certain types of places on the ground. There's more chashav and less chashav. Let's just be vague for a minute. There's more chashav and less chashav. When something is on the ground, it can be on the ground on a mokum dalad al dalad or not on the mokum dalad al dalad. Right? But in the avir, there's no chilak. There's no idea like that. You can't say this part of the avir is any different than that part of the avir. You know what I'm saying? So there's no idea of dalad at all. Dalad al dalad is when the object is to differentiate different types of places of the ground. You could say if you want to really put something down on the ground, you put it down on the chasher spot. Right?
He's not learning that dalad al dalad is a din.
It's not a din of being munach. Munach is just where the object gets its quality from. According to Tosfos, munach is separate from where the object gets its quality from. First, it has to be munach, has to be at rest, and then it can be qualified afterwards. So it can be at rest on the wall. They're two separate ideas. Dalad al dalad, according to Tosfos, is a din of where it gets its shame of being at rest, how it gets its definition of being at rest. Then it gets qualified by the Rishus that it's around. Rashi holds they're together. Rashi holds that they're together. Rashi holds dalad al dalad that you don't need any shear for the thing to be at rest. As long as it's fixed to a certain place, it's considered at rest.
Right?
Dalad al dalad is not about being at rest. Dalad al dalad
is
how it gets the quality of the Rishus that it's in. It only gets the quality of the Rishus that it's in when it's in the Rishus in a chashiv way.
So wouldn't the averages be just as much not chashiv as not dalad?
But therefore, dalad al dalad is only a shear where it's possible to have a shear. So on the ground, I can say, you can have ground, you can have places on the ground that are 4x4, 2x2, any type of size you want. But the aver doesn't have any size. There's no size. In the avir, it's not. There's no place that it's on at all, right? It's just a question: is it in the avir? Is it permanently in the avir? Yes, because it's stopped, it's fixed, and it's in the avir. You understand? It's only.
Yeah, I understand. It doesn't have a place, right? So then what? So now, how is it? How, if dalad is din, and how the object gets the quality of its rishus, right? So then, when the object is stuck on the side of the wall and it's not, and the,
So then you can't know. On the ground, you could say there's more and less chashuv ways. There are more and less chashuv places to be on the ground. So you can say that the halacha is it has to be on something that's considered a significant feature of the ground. Can't be balanced on a peg on the ground. Has to be on a table, on a top, on a surface, on a serious place, right? But you must say, according to the way Rashi's learning, that that doesn't apply by the avir, because there's no such concept like that.
Oh, fine. You're saying dollar is not shaykh to the avir.
Not shaykh to the avir at all.
Okay, I see.
But is that, that's only an avir, like Rashi only holds this by avir.
Only by avir, there's no din of dollar. Because you can't say it's not on an important part of the avir. There's no such thing. Avir is homogeneous. It's all the same. All of the avir is exactly the same. You right. can't say it's on a more serious part of the avir. Avir is avir. But on the ground, when it's munach on the karka, or on a surface, right, I can say this type of a surface is not a really important part of the ground. This is an insignificant part of the ground.
The avir is like itself the substance of Rishus Rabbah.
That's a good question. That's a good question. That's a separate question. That's a good question. That's a good question. What's the idea of the avir Rishus Rabbah? The avir Rishus Rabbah, it would seem, according to Rashi, right, the way Rashi explains it, is an extension of the karka. Now, as the Rishus HaRabim is made for people to walk on. It's Drisus HaRabim, right? And then anything that is accessible to the Drisus HaRabim or is within their grasp is considered part of the Drisus HaRabim too.
It's only the avir
within the reach of the Drisus HaRabim. Whereas Rishus HaYachid is Olad LaRakia, because apparently that then the avir itself is its own type of area. You can always build up.
They don't understand it.
Yeah. I'm sorry you weren't really prepared for this, but yeah, go ahead.
On this point that you're saying that the avir is just not shaykh to this idea of da'al-da'ad.
Right.
The thing I'm just wondering about is, it seems like you're saying, to borrow a category we use once, you're saying that it's not deficient, it's just absent, you know, that you don't know
right.
da'al-da'ad.
Right.
The thing I don't understand is, why don't you say that the Makom, which is not dalal dalal on the karka, is just as much absent, because it's just as much avir, it's at least avir.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's relating in a totally different way. It's relating to the rishus of the ground. But on the wall, it's not relating to any rishus. It's just relating to the avir.
You're saying that the rishus really has two things. There's avir and there's karka.
See, what you're saying is a good question by the rishus hayachid. I mean, that gets into a good... We'll have to see. There's a sheet that the way we really hold in the end, in Rishus HaYachid, it doesn't have to be in a Mokum Dalal Dalal. Any part is the same. But over here we're saying, if you're relating to the, if you're Munach, if you're being qualified by the ground, then it's different than being, then you have to talk about where is it getting its quality from resting on this part of the ground. Now I can differentiate this part from another part.
So when we say avir, we don't really mean space. We mean a distinct thing of avir as opposed to the karka.
Right.
Because otherwise it would be right. At least space.
Right. Okay. That's good. It's a good point. Okay, let's go on to what we prepared for, what you guys are preparing for today. I just had to finish up from Friday. Go ahead. So now we have an interesting question over here. That if it's on top of if it's on top of the brick, and the brick is higher than 3 tefachim, then what? Then the brick is considered a mokum patur. Right? Why? Let's see, Rashi. Al gaba patur. Someone want to read? Matt, you want to take over?
Okay. Al gaba patur kedmuki la abayev rava. Begavoha shlosha lo darsi bar rabin davi makom laatzma.
Okay, so why is three tefachim potter? Why if you put the dveila on top of a brick that's three tefachim high, you're potter?
Rabin doesn't walk there.
Because the rabin don't walk there. So higher than three tefachim is not a rishus that's elevated by three tefachim is not considered a rishus rabin. Why? Because Rishus HaRabim, like we're saying, is the area that the Rabim tread, right? It's where the Rabim tread. And they don't tread on objects higher than 3 Tefachim. They'll avoid them, they'll walk around them. So that doesn't become part of the drishas harabim. Okay? Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So
the little dorsi below rabim, right? That's what Abaye and Rav are saying.
Well, hizmi vihigi, alfa gav de lo gvi shlosha.
Okay, now what about hizmi and higi? What are they?
Right, so dortsai and iglatir.
Does anybody check what those are? But anyway, on the side, he has the on the side, says one is a snare, a little bush, Elon Sarok, a fruitless bush, and the other one is kotzen. The other one is thorns. And so they're typed the little, I don't know, tumbleweed.
Shrubberies.
You ever seen the Old West, the tumbleweed?
Yeah.
Right? So they don't walk on those. That's what the Gemara is saying. That since they don't walk, since the idea, what's the idea of a brick that's higher than three, is that the rabbim don't walk on it, right? So if it's a thorny bush, they don't walk on that either. So then even if it's less than three, it should be makom patur, right? That's the argument. Right. Whatever the rabbim don't walk on is a makom patur. So if it's a usable surface, it has to be high. But if it's intrinsically just not a usable surface because it's prickly, so then it's makom patur right away. Okay, go ahead.
Rashi says afagav de lo gavah shlosha, havi makom patur la'atzmo de lo darsi ba rabim ale shelo yazuku.
So there's a self-interest. People don't walk on it because they don't want to get hurt.
Right.
Okay.
So then v'chia bar rav amar afilu hizmi v'higi.
So he holds
that you're chayev.
But so he holds that what?
You're chayev if it lands on the hizmi v'higi.
That even the hizmi and the higi have to be higher than three.
Right, of all tsoa lo.
But tsoa doesn't. Go ahead, Rashi.
Kul hizmi v'higi, didarsi alei v'san d'lehon.
So what about the argument that you're going to get hurt? So he says, no, we wear shoes. Funny argument. I mean, funny machlokas.
Yeah.
You wear shoes? Okay.
Well, tsoa, afagav de lo gvoha, lo darsi ala.
But so, even with shoes, you don't want to walk on it.
Right. And then right. Rav Ashi amar afilu tsoa.
And Rav Ashi says what? Says no, even tsoa is going to be rishus harabim.
Right.
The only thing that's not rishus harabim is something that is higher than 3 tefachim. So
guy,
what's the machlokas?
The other guy
said
in the street
that right. So what's the machlokas over here? What's the machlokas over here? How do you define this machlokas? It's a three-way machlokas?
Yeah.
So one side says what? Rav Ashi, let's go backwards. Rav Ashi says only things that are higher than 3 tefachim are makom patur.
Right.
Right? That's Rav Ashi. Then you have who?
Chia bar Rav.
Chia bar Rav says that and soa. Right?
Yeah.
And who? And then the first one is just the stam of the Gemara?
Abaye and Rava.
Abaye and Rava. And Abaye and Rava say even hizmi vihigi. Oh, not Rosh Hashanah. So what's the machlokas? Very difficult machlokas. So who do you want to take? Which side do you want to take? Which side do you want to take to understand first?
I don't know. Abaye and Rava seems.
What happened to Nissan?
I don't know.
I think you
got a phone call. Yeah, Abaye
and Rava? Seems to be, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Right, so it seems like they say that part of Rosh Hashanah Rabin is that it has to be. Part of Malcolm Halicha is that it's you know, any Halicha that the Rabbim has is, you know.
So you must say some people walk barefoot. Right?
Right.
Now, what's the Metzius over here? What's the Metzius?
Right, some people walk barefoot, some people wear shoes.
Some people walk barefoot and some people wear shoes.
It seems like no one steps in.
I'd say it's about, what, 80-20 maybe? 80-20?
Right, it seems like once you have to qualify or limit their Halicha in any way, then that removes it from being a Malcolm Drisos Harabin.
Okay, so Abaye and Rava say that in order to be Rishus HaRabim, it has to be an unlimited Rishus HaRabim. No limitation. Once there's any limitation on the Rishus HaRabim, you can't say that this is designated exclusively for Rishus HaRabim.
Right. Most Rabim, part of the Rabim doesn't, right.
Because some Rabim are discriminated against over here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So they hold that if it's not absolutely fit for the whole entity of Rabbim, then it's excluded, That's called that lacks in Drisa Rab. That's not considered Drisa Rab anymore. Okay, even if it's a minority of the Rab, I would imagine it was a minority of the Rab. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, even in those days, shoes seemed pretty common.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think so?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What else? So what else? So who's next?
Certain.
Right?
Right.
Ezra, you hear what we're trying to do? Okay. So what do you say? So who's next?
Ravashi.
That's the logical next choice. The absolutists. Take the... So what does Ravashi hold?
Only the
Gimel Tov. He doesn't care about anything.
No,
he doesn't care about
anything. He seems to say it has to be like an intrinsic monea, meaning that the thorns can be overcome.
The thorns can be overcome by shoes,
sandals, right?
So we don't know.
Well, I was thinking so it lacks in being an intrinsic monea for a different reason, because that eventually is going to become part of the Shusha Rabin, right? I mean, it lacks in
key. Well, that's, you mean by people stepping on it, or just
no, by just that's born of its natural. Yeah, meaning a brick or something is something which is there, and you can call it a feature of the Rabin because it's going to be there unless, you know.
Right. But how do you define, what's the definition of it? Yeah,
yeah,
it
doesn't
go by the function, but it goes by the, in terms of the structure of the terrain. Once you have a certain shear.
No, let me set it up for you, okay? I'll set it up for you, and then you can answer the question.
Okay.
I'm not setting you up, I'm setting it up, okay? What's the definition of Rishus HaRabim? That's what the Gemara says. The Rishus HaRabim is the makom of Drisus HaRabim, right? It's the makom of Drisus HaRabim. And that's what it says, that the brick, that's Gavoa Shlosha, why is it not Rishus HaRabim? Delo Dorsi Lo Rabim, because the Rabim don't tread there. Okay?
Yeah.
So we have to now define what does it mean. So therefore it's saying that any place that the Rabim don't tread, that's the area that's removed from the Rishus HaRabim. Correct?
Yeah.
So you're telling me that according to the first Shita, what does it mean, the Rabim don't tread there? It means that it's inconvenient to some of them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's inconvenient, it's avoided by some of them. It's not absolutely used by the Rabim. Okay? But we always have to go back to the definition of Dorsi Bo Rabim, Lo Dorsi Bo Rabim. Dorsi Bo Rabim means absolutely, and Lo Dorsi Bo Rabim is any compromise on the absolute Drisus HaRabim. Okay? So what does Ravashi hold? How does Ravashi hold to say Lo Dorsi Bo Rabim? What's the idea of Lo Dorsi Bo Rabim according to Ravashi? As according to Abaye and Rava, Lo Dorsi Bo Rabim just means it's compromised. But what does Ravashi hold Lo Dorsi Bo Rabim?
It has to be absolutely not used by the Rabim.
Okay, and how is that? And how is that possible?
It's something.
Okay. In other words,
but you all the people so no one walks.
Right, no one walks in so on.
Yeah, but the difference is by Gimel Tvachim, it's a new makom.
Yeah, but that's gonna be a nafkamina of whatever position you hold. Right, meaning if you hold
by height exclusively, right?
He holds by height exclusively.
Right.
Height exclusively.
Right.
I mean a flaming
burning bush.
Rav Ashi holds like this. Rav Ashi holds. What's the difference between soa and a brick? What's the difference between soa and a brick? In terms of why you don't walk on it.
Height.
That's correct. So what does the height do? What does height do?
The brick is going to actually affect your action of walking itself.
Correct.
Whereas the toe is just some other unpleasant consequence.
Correct. In other words, Ravashi holds that it has to be. What does it mean that the Rabim are not Dores here? It means it demands a different Misa to walk here. You understand? It demands a different type of an action to walk here. So since this to go over this place. He doesn't care about whether people actually do it or not. That's not his concern. He wants to say that if it's to be not part of the Drisus HaRabim, means to say it would require a step to get there. stepping is not drisa. And then it has to be that it would demand a different activity of the person in order to be removed from the drisa rabim. So Abaye and Rava say the definition of drisa rabim is a practical question, right? Is it functioning for the rabim? As long as the function is compromised, you can't say that its function is the function of the rabim, because some of the rabim are excluded. But according to Rav Ashi, it doesn't go by the practical function, right? It goes by the activity. If it would demand a new, in other words, if the Maisa of Drisa would not be capable of going over this area, right? Because Drisa is walking, this would demand stepping. That's Mufka from the Rabbi. You understand? It doesn't go by whether it's actually used or not. It goes by the type of activity that would require, that would be required to go over. You can only consider it removed from the drisa sarabim when drisa wouldn't be able to do it, when drisa would not be enough to get over there, right? So he's really absolute. Okay. So those are the two absolute ends of the spectrum. One is saying it has to be that it would demand a different maisa to go there. Right, and the other one says it's not completely open to the activity, to the rabbim. Any limitations? But what the middle sheet does are, yeah. Right? The middle sheet does are. That what? That by the brick, by the, of course the brick. Everyone agrees to the brick because that is not even a maisa drisa at all. But where it could be a maisa drisa, but people refrain from doing it, is that considered removed from the rabbim? So Abaye and Rava say yes, right? Abaye and Rava say yes. But what is? But what is it? What is Chia saying? What is Chia Bar? What is Chia Bar? What is he saying? What is he saying? Difficult. What is he saying? He's saying put on a pair of shoes. Put on a pair of shoes. I mean, he is more like Abaye and Rava than Rav Ashi. Right, because Soeh could be walked on.
No,
Thorns could be walked on. What? Soeh too. He's not like Rav Ashi. He's more like Abaye and Rava than like Rav Ashi, I'm saying. Right? Yeah, so what is he old? Chia bar Rav. Afilu hizmi v'igi old. Soeh lo. Didorsi ale besan aleon. I mean, he's saying practically, Rabim are Doris on his music, right? But it's not to the same extent that they're Doris on the regular street. But practically, they are Doris on it, right? But Soeh nobody's Doris on. Yeah, but what's the definition over here? So what's the definition of? That it's the little Dorsi Bo Rabim. So he seems to hold as long as it's qualified by the Drisa the Rabim, it's enough. Even if it's not, as long as it's qualified by the Drisa the Rabim in any way, it's considered part of the Drisa the Rabim. So as long as some Rabim, as long as some Rabim do, he doesn't say, he sees, the way Rashi expresses it is that they do it. The Dorsia le Besandaleon, they do it. Not a theoretical thing that they could do it, but they actually do it. Right? They actually do it. So, in other words, maybe he's more like Rav Ashi. In other words, according to Rav Ashi and Rav Chia, it has to be excluded from Drisus HaRabim. Okay? But since on the Hizmi and the Higi some Rabim do it, you can't call that excluded from the Rabim. It's only excluded from the Rabim. That's the machlokes between Ravashi and Chia. According to Ravashi, has to be excluded from the Maisa of Drisus HaRabim. Right? It has to require a different Maisa. But according to Chia, it's enough if it's excluded from the Rabim practically. But it has to be absolutely excluded from the Rabim. So Tzoweh is an absolute exclusion. Nobody's Doris on Tzoweh. But Hizmi V'Higi, They are still Doris on.
So what's his difference then with the Abaye and Rava?
But Abaye and Rava hold they hold the opposite. Not that it has to be excluded, but it has to be right. It has to be muchan for the Rava. And any limitation on any limitation lacks in being muchan. So in other words, they're coming at it from different ends, right? One is saying Ravashi and Ruchia are saying that why it's going to be part of the Rishus HaRabim unless it's excluded. And Abaye and Rav are saying it's not going to be part of the Rishus HaRabim unless it's designated. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It's opposite. They're looking at it from opposite ends. Rav Ashi and Ruchia are saying that as long as it is used, It's only going to be excluded from the Rabbim if it's what? It has to be excluded from the Rabbim. It has to be removed from the Rabbim. Right? But the question is it in terms of the tzura of the walking, or is it practically, even practically? But according to Abaye and Rava, it's not part of the Shush Rabbim unless it's muchan for the Rabbim, unless it's designated for the Rabbim. It's an interesting question. It's an interesting question because the whole area is mucha for the Rabbim. Seems to be a question like this: when you have the whole area set up for the Rabbim, how do you look at the small parts? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How do you look at the small parts? Rav Ashi and Rav Chi are saying that the small parts are going to get dragged along with the bigger entity. The whole Rabbim is mucha.
Right, unless
for some reason it's excluded from the greater entity, it's going to be bottled to the greater entity. Abaye and Rava are a little stranger. They're saying like each part has to have its own designation.
Yeah, that's what Nisan was going to say. Yeah.
Each part requires its own designation. Nothing is part of the Rabbim unless we make it part of the Rabbim. You don't say the whole street. You don't say because I say
right.
from here to here is the Rabbim, that's going to drag along everything in between. It's a funny question. That when you designate the whole derech, is that like being designating every single little spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a cumulative designating of every little spot? But each spot really requires its own designation. So Abaye and Rava say, but if this little area, you couldn't have a whole street filled with his me the higgy, so it's not ready. It's not ready to take on the shame of Shus Rab. But Rav Chia and Rav Ashi, they say no. As long as the derech has the shame of Shus HaRabim, not every part of it has to have the same exact functionality, right? It can be part of the greater. It can be part of the greater Rishus, unless there's something in it that's intrinsically removes it from the quality of the Rishus. All right, it's a good question. I don't know. So you see the Rashba?
Yeah.
So the Rashba is an interesting point there. What happened to Zoldan? Okay.
Good
question. All right. So the Rashba says
what? Abaye v'Rava Adami Tavayhu, who should go shlosha v'chule. Well, he's made higi off a gav delogavi shlosha.
Right.
Pirush mishim delo darsi bar rabin. Kashani. V'ha Rava hu da'amar b'per kamatznia, hamotzi peros l'shusa rabin, lamati mishlosha biyad, chayav. Mishum dechol shesamuch lekarka besof shlosha kekarka dami. V'yad halo darsi barabim.
Funny Rashba, right? Funny question. He says that what here Rava is saying that any area that if they're not doris on it, it's not considered part of the rabim.
Right.
But yet he says that if you put your hand out and your hand is in three tefachim from the ground,
it's considered part of
Rishus. Considered part of Rishus Rav.
Even though people aren't doris on it.
Nobody's doris on your hand.
Yeah.
Nobody's doris on your hand. Okay. Good question.
Okay. Vishlomar dehad amrinan aval hizmi v'higi love aval hizmi v'higi love sima demerva da Abaye v'Ravahu ala anan hu dekamrinan maskinan ba'hafi.
Right. That's like I was saying. That's like I thought at first. It's not Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava just say v'hu shegova shlosha de lo darsi bar rab. They're talking about the brick.
Right.
And then the Stam of the Gemara says aval hizmi v'higi. Now that's not Abaye and Rava saying aval hizmi v'higi.
Right. So
that's
right.
Just the Gemara. So yeah, in a Hanami, Rava would say that what? Rava would say his mi vihigi would also be chayav.
Right. Just like the hand is chayav.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
They were
here and
upholding something like
Ravashi.
Something like Ravashi, correct.
Ve'inam
mechuvar. But that doesn't make sense.
Rabin. Kagon hizmi v'higi. V'kiyot beilu. Shehin mushlachim brishus rabim. Ve'inan omdim lehistalek.
Okay, so he says, now you have to make a chilek between the hand and these other things. That what? That when do we say? That what? That things that are not, that people don't step on, are not part of the rabim. That's by things that are thrown into the rabim and left there. Right? Like hizmi v'higi. They're not going to be removed. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hilkach.
Right. Hilkach. Kevan shemonim es harabim milidrosham, ein shem rishus harabim bozo makom. Shein din rishus harabim elav makom hamuchan lidris es harabim.
Right. So here, there he defines rabbi and rabbi.
Right.
That what? That since there's something stopping the rabbim there.
Right. So then there's no shame.
So then there's no shame rishus harabim
in that place.
Because you can't say this place. Of the hizmi v'higi amuchan. Go ahead.
Aval yad o kli she'inan osuyin lihis akiv sham ela l'sha'a ein chulkin rishus la'atman ela omdim hein b'rishus u'batlein l'gabi
h'rishus. Interesting. But a hand or even a kli that's not going to be there permanently, right? Then what? It's not cholik or rishus to itself, but it stands omdim hein b'rishus, they're in the rishus. Mm-hmm. And they're bottled to the rishus.
It's like counterintuitive, more kavua in the rishus rabbim.
Right.
Chancers will be excluded from the.
Correct. Go ahead.
V'teda lecha daha afilu kli gavoha mishlosha v'ad asara eino cholik rishus la'atmo v'lihios ha'kakarmelis. D'chol shehu omid besoch avir ha'rishus eino cholik rishus la'atmo. V'tama kadamrinan v'hu adin v'hu tam kan. Talk nearly.
Yeah.
What is that last part
here? That's the way he's learning a different thing. The way he's learning a kli over there. But, yeah, so what's the idea over here? Now, it's an important idea. It's an important idea. That what? That what's the difference between the hand and the hizmi and the higi? What's he saying?
Seems like there's two ways that's how you get the definition of rishus harabim, right?
Right. He's saying it's not that if it's higher than three, it's not that the rabim have to be doris on the thing, right, in order to make it the rishus harabim. Because your hand, they're not doris on. Correct? Right. It's not that you have, that was his question. It's not halacha that you have to, the rabim have to step on it in order to make it part of the rishus harabim.
Qualify that.
That's not what Abaye and Rava is saying, right? That's not what Abaye and Rava is saying. Correct? That's not what Abaye and Rava is saying. But what is it? It
has to qualify that
makom. What do you mean?
That's the nafkamina. Because if you say that it was the thing itself, so then there's no difference. You're not practically not going to walk on the hand. But if you say that since it's temporary, the hand won't qualify the makom, so I could still say you're chayev because the makom that you placed it on. Place which never lost its shame or shusarab, whereas the other place, since this thing is permanent here, it's now redefined as makom as a place which is not shusarab.
So how do you view the hand? How do you view the hand?
It's an obstacle.
It's not a feature of the rabbin. It's something in the rabbin.
It's not a feature of the rabbin. It's not a part of the rishus harabim.
Right.
I mean, when the hand becomes like rishus harabim, that's from this separate principle of anything which is
love it.
Right. Right. But meaning you don't subject it. The drisas harabim is a criteria about defining rishuyos, you know, within the realm of rishuyos
right.
themselves. You know, so it, something right. needs to partake of the quality of rishuyos in order for it to be subject to that criterion. Right. So a hand is not.
You can't treat that as that's the difference, right? It's not cholik rishus la'atmo.
Right.
You don't say the hand is making its own rishus over here. It's going to be bottled to whatever rishus it's in. It's going to be part of whatever rishus it's in. Now, is there a difference between saying the hand is considered like it's functioning something that is temporary is going to be part of the function of the area that it's in. Right? It's not going to redefine the area that it's in. Uh-huh. Something that's permanent is going to redefine the area. But now it becomes part of the terrain of the Rabbim. Now the Rabbim has a little hump in it, right? But a kli or a yad, he's saying, that's a functional entity because it comes in and it goes out, right? It's not a part of the area. It's something that's functioning in the area. So it's going to take on the function of the area that it's in. It's going to take on, it's going to be considered a kli of the Rabbim, or it's going to be considered an entity in the Rabbim. But it's not going to define the Rabbim. But one second. But his point is that what? His point is, it gets back to what we were saying before. By Rabbi and Rava, it's not exactly like we said. We said that every area has to be defined, right? That's what he's sort of dealing with. That kind of question, right? He's saying at this moment you can't say that this spot is defined. The use is Rava because right now nobody can walk here.
He's questioning what we mean by defined. What?
Look at what's excluding it from being
a. Right. It has to be that the area is excluded from the. From the full pieces of Rabbim.
So it seems like he does hold more like.
It's Chiyavar Rabbim.
Alright, let's leave that go from there. Okay. I mean, he's just saying a different point. He's saying it's not even considered qualifying the area at all. He's saying it's not considered qualifying the area at all. It doesn't qualify the area. It's not Cholik Rishos Latzma. It's not qualifying the space below it at all. On the contrary, the space below it is qualifying it. Right? Okay. The permanent thing is going to qualify the temporary thing, not the other way around.
It's a different issue, though.
It's a different issue. Okay, all right, let's stop here. So what do we do for tomorrow? You want to do the next piece? You have to do the Tosfos over here. Ulema. Okay? Go up till... Ulema. Let's just go up till... up till the Chihadam or Leishmol.
What?
Sort of, from the bottom.